CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batts with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. The Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. We welcome Ann Stevenson Yang, our colleague for many years. Remarks to the committee. I quote from Ann. We face fundamental disjunctions between the U.S. and Chinese systems. Countries expect one another to follow norms, giving true information about the economy, not stealing intellectual property, not committing human rights abuses. China does none of these things. And a very good evening to you. I want to concentrate on giving true information about the economy. Did you find the committee conversant with that fact that we don't trust the numbers, haven't for years? Good evening to you, Ann.
Hi, John. Sure, the committee knows a fair amount about China. I think that they have perhaps excessive suspicions about Chinese political organization and motivations. I think that the Chinese economic statistics are driven by political targets. And it's not that anybody's sitting there changing stuff, saying, oh, we got to make things look good. It's that it's driven by political targets.
Gordon, you have a question for Ann.
And we've seen indications that growth is coming down. Is that by design, or is that just an erosion of the economy because of the system?
I believe that there's been structural problems in China over the last almost 30 years, and that this is the these are the fruits of the structural decline. I think probably the Chinese economy is performing worse than the statistics indicate.
Let us go to what we understand about the Chinese Communist Party right now. We've talked about Evergrande for more than a year. There's this new player on the field of disaster. I believe it's called Country Garden. And I've been reading headlines saying this is worse than Evergrande. Is it, Anne, or are we now into the realm of exaggerating to get people to read the article?
Well, in a narrow sense, it's worse in that the impact on Chinese buyers of debt is I think more. But Evergrande is the largest developer. I mean, now Country Garden is left as the biggest developer in China, but Evergrande has been the biggest developer for a long, long time.
Is this a domino? Are we going to find the next developer in trouble, a new name, once Country Garden fails? Is that what we're watching?
That's already going on. And the interesting thing is the tentacles that these developers have through financial products and other parts of the economy, materials, things like that.
Gordon, you have a question.
Ian, you're the world's expert on the Chinese property sector, at least in my book. So let me ask you a nerdy question, one which may have significance. When Evergrande's problems first came to light, everyone talked about it having $305 billion in debt. We are recently seeing reports that Evergrande's debt totals $335 billion. So an extra, that was off by 10%. Do you know what that is? Was it just misreporting in the beginning? What's going on here?
Well, Evergrande has a tremendous number of off-balance sheet relationships in China, which means that that the company, for example, may promise that it's going to repurchase apartments if those apartments don't rise a certain amount in price. That's an off-balance sheet obligation in that it never appears in the company's financial statements. But if the price does decline, then Evergrande has an obligation to rebuy. So that's a type of debt. There are also a whole lot of debts through Chinese shadow financiers. There's a lot of stuff. I don't think anybody at Evergrande itself really knows the extent of the debt.
Within these hours, Anne, this puzzling headline at CNBC, Xi, as in President Xi Jinping, Xi's economic policies are leaving many China watchers perplexed and confused. Is that accurate, Anne? Is this a surprise to China watchers? Did you, in testifying to the committee, find people amazed that the miracle had gone away?
It does a little bit bemuse me that there's been such a rapid turn in public sentiment on China when these are really structural problems that have been going on for a long time. I think that casting blame on Xi Jinping is also misplaced. I think Xi Jinping was an inevitability, and that the economy was bound to go in this direction.
Gordon, you have a question.
And that raises the issue about Wall Street. Wall Street doesn't trade on facts, doesn't even trade on long-term trends. It trades, as they say, on momentum. But what is interesting is that Wall Street, and it's not just the Chinese economy, it's other things as well. It seems like there's a tipping point on issues, and all of a sudden Wall Street just goes over the cliff one way or the other. Is that your understanding of the way the financial markets in the U.S. and around the world work?
Well, that's how financial bubbles work, Gordon, and it's really hard to say exactly what the tipping point is ever going to be. So who is the person during the tulip mania who decided that he wasn't going to pay, you know, mortgage his house to buy a black tulip? It's just, you know, there's that tiny, tiny tipping point where all of a sudden the thing collapses. That happened with the AMC craze. It happened with the internet, you know, pets.com. It's happened with one bubble after another.
It is possible that what is going on now, the failure of a business plan, is seen as a boon to the surveillance state, that Xi Jinping is leading a faction that wishes to close the borders, close the windows, turn its back on the world, and I guess inspire itself internally entirely. China's gone through these epochs before, I read in Chinese history, as recently as the 19th to the 20th century. Is that possible that this is a success for Xi Jinping and his lieutenants? And we have about a minute.
I think that we have much experience in Chinese history of China closing its doors and that not being a successful strategy economically or politically.
And Gordon, I ask you to reflect on that. Is it possible that Xi Jinping is presenting this present failure as a success, that his version of Maoism is working?
I think what he's redirecting the goals of the nation and expecting people to expect less. So it's just the general change in the direction of China that Xi Jinping is trying to implement.
You mean the eating bitterness remark, that's something that's not meant as a bomb but as an inspiring motto?
That it is good for society, that it renews itself through a redirection towards state goals rather than personal ones, and something along that lines.
Therefore, the property failures help him, Gordon? The people not?
No, they certainly don't. They certainly do not.
They create dissent, yes? Is that something that he is prepared to deal with in the surveillance state?
Yes. 70% of the wealth of the Chinese middle class, it is said, is in property. So rapid and large declines in property values certainly undermine support for the Communist Party.
Final question to you, and briefly, do you expect more property failure going forward that has not been stemmed?
Yeah, I do, John. I mean, the government has directed a lot of credit to support the property sector even this year, but it's a losing battle. It's a finger in the dike.
Anne Stevenson Yang, Gordon Chang, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.